Good morning. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, and I am wondering something out loud today. I'm wondering, why do people have to be so hateful? I was trying to make a turn into gateway number two, and this was just a little while ago. And so I go get into the, of course, it's a four-lane road. I'm in the passing lane on the right-hand side, of course, and I turn into the deceleration lane, and there's, you know, I'm supposed to go to the far side of that. You know, you're supposed to always keep your the other lane of cars on your left, right? Well, this lady just thought that I was hogging the road, and she wanted to cut it short and turn left, and you should have seen the gesticulations that she did with her hands. She was so mad, so angry. I've never seen her before. And, you know, this seems to be a prevalent disease in modern society, is not giving our fellow human beings a little credit. You know, when somebody does something like that, there, it's not like they stole your yard art or something. It is they are just trying to follow the law. Somebody makes a driving mistake, you know, we don't have to flip them off, really. You know, just say, okay, I understand. Give them a nice little nod. They screwed up. Or maybe they don't know better. Maybe they weren't paying attention in driver's ed 50 years ago. You know, this is a common thing. You know, I'm one to talk, my wife will say, because I hate to wait. I am not a patient person in a line. You know, if I see a line that's too long at Powell's, I'll just keep driving. I'll go get my tea somewhere else, even though it's not as good. I will go somewhere else because I do not like to wait. And I know that I do get frustrated when, you know, a car in the drive-thru sits there for a huge amount of time waiting for their food. What in the heck did they order? You know, I can feel that surging through my brain. But, you know, we don't have to act on those feelings, do we? You know, we really don't. We can be nice. Had a customer show their you-know-what in a service drive the other day, and why do people feel like they have to get loud? You know, do they have to show everybody else that, you know, how they're going to stand up to those mean old service department people? You know, my guys were in the right. You know, I checked into it and calmed the customer down a little bit. They normally will cool their jets when they're introduced to the dealer. They'll be a lot more respectful. And that's sad as well. I mean, if you're going to be respectful to the top guy, be respectful to the person on the front line as well. And I know a lot of these people, a lot of these younger folks, and I'm not trying to discriminate, they don't have the feel for customer service that folks did 30, 40, 50 years ago. I think people valued customers more. Maybe it's because there were fewer customers than there are now. And I'm sure bad service was evident back then as well, but it just didn't seem like it's as infected as it is, as society is right now. So we all need to try a little bit harder as far as that is concerned and give each other a little bit of slack. So the next time somebody does something ignorant, or maybe they sit at the green light, you know, the light was red, it turns green, and they sit there for an extra 30 or 40 seconds. Well, that would be excessive. You know, if somebody sits there for more than 5 seconds, I'm start to say, okay, what's the deal? What's the deal? And, you know, I just need to be more patient. Of course, they don't know I'm mad, right? I'm just sitting back there fuming. And it's doing no good because they're sitting there in la-la land updating their Facebook page. They don't know I'm angry. And my anger doesn't hurt anybody but me. So I'm working on it. Hopefully you can work on it too. I'm going to take my first break. This is an early break. Way earlier than normal because I got some stuff to talk about in the middle. So I'll be back here in just a second. Well, it seems as though the stock markets are very fickle right now. Reacting to everything. You know, we've got, I guess, a potential war on somebody's hands. Hopefully it's not on our hands. We have the Fed made some decisions yesterday that are designed to combat inflation. And it's funny how you raise interest rates and somehow that slows down inflation. And, you know, I'm not even going to get into my understanding of that, but it has to do with cooling things off just a little bit in the borrowing area. So money's going to cost you more money. If you want to borrow money, it's going to cost you more. My daughters are both getting ready to borrow massive sums to build houses. And, you know, it's going to cost a little bit more. Combine that with the very high prices of building materials, and then you've got a recipe for high payments. You know, it's just amazing to me that people are listing houses in that, well, just about any price range, and you're getting multiple bidders. You know, it happened to my daughter Audra and Ben, her husband, my sales manager, and they listed their house and had, I think it was a total of 14 showings in about 5 or 6 days, and multiple offers, and most of the offers were over the asking price. So this is where we are, you know, and shortage of vehicles is a very similar type of situation. So the markets are up and down a lot. You know, looking at some of the car industry stocks, Carvana is down significantly. Just the last couple of days, down 7.2%. Sonic, however, Sonic is a big dealer group, new car dealers. Carvana is totally not that. Carvana is an online used car operation. Ford stock continues to slide down a little bit. You know, it was up about $25 a share. Now it's down to about $19.09. $19.98 might be a good time to buy. GM is down a little bit. But General Motors just announced that, I guess they're trying to improve their stock. They just announced that they're committing $7 billion to the single largest investment in their history, which will be an electric truck plant and an EV battery plant in Michigan. You know, Ford decided to move their EV plants and their battery plants to Tennessee, which I was really glad about. I think that might be a move to try to, escape the grip of the unions. However, you know, any plant can be unionized. You just have to have a vote. But GM is not going down that path. They're sticking in Michigan, and they're going to build a battery cell plant, and they're converting their Chevrolet Bolt assembly plant. That was their hybrid vehicle. No, that was their electric car, sorry. And they're moving that production someplace else, but they're going to build battery-powered versions of the Chevy Silverado and the GMC Sierra full-size pickup trucks. And they're saying that eventually that could allow GM, just at that one plant, to build 600,000 full-size electric pickup trucks per year. So you think about that. That's more than they're selling now, total trucks. So they must be anticipating that electric trucks is going to be the thing. You think it's going to be? You know, I do to a degree, but I think it's going to be years and years away, decade and a half maybe. The U.S. Commerce Department, said Tuesday that a global survey of the semiconductor chip producers and users shows that these shortages will persist. Not what we want to hear. It's primarily the production is slowed down by apparently wafer production, you know, wafers. You know what those are, right? Most of those are made out of silicon, and I guess the production capacity for that is not real good. You know, there's a big plant in Greenville called CE Minerals that makes silicon, makes these big ingots. They melt down and fuse the sand together to make these big glass ingots, what looks like glass, and then they ship it off, and then that's used, goes through the process, and eventually becomes a microprocessor somewhere. Very labor-intensive process at that point, and then it gets to be highly technical. The voluntary survey of 150 companies last fall in the supply chain confirmed that there is significant persistent mismatch in supply and demand for chips. And so that they do not see this problem going away in the next 6 months. Now, I heard that 6 months ago, and 6 months before that, that they think that this might start to improve in that period of time, and it hasn't. It's gotten worse, and there's more people wanting fewer chips. So we just kind of have to live with it for a while. And finally, good news for used car owners. Used car wholesale prices at dealer-only auctions in December 2021 ended the year with a eye-popping 48.1% higher average than December of 2019. Think about that. 2 years ago. And cars are more valuable by 48.1%. So that means the car in your garage is worth more than it was. And that means that the car that you want to trade it in, the used car, is going to be higher as well. As we've talked about, this has somewhat offset the lack of factory rebates and a lot of vehicles selling at MSRP or above. So, you know, it's still it's a great time to buy if you need to buy a car. It's not so great if you need it right now. Because more than likely, you're not going to find exactly what you want. You may have to settle. The supply at my dealerships is very erratic. You know, 1 month we'll get 15 Rogues, and then the next month we won't get any. And so we're fighting to find product, just like everybody else is. It's everybody gets on the television and says, "We've got truckloads arriving daily." Well, maybe truckloads of parts. And nobody's going to beat our deal. Well, your deal isn't going to be that good anyway. I mean, from a standpoint of pricing, I don't know of any cars that are turning slowly right now in terms of sales. Just about everything is selling. Now, Ford has recently said, well, you've got until, well, matter of fact, you've got until today to order your Ford Maverick if you want one for 2022. And if you want to wait till 2023, then, you know, you can go ahead and wait. But if you want one, a chance to get one in 2022, you better order it today. So, you know, that's great. They also said that they were going to stop taking orders for Bronco Sports. And all of this is due to our friend, the chip shortage. So hang in there. That's all I can say. Natty this weekend to see my grandson. Yay. And I wanted to get my truck serviced. So I bought a new 2022 F-150 Power Boost. So that means it's a hybrid. And, you know, I'm a little bit disappointed in my gas mileage. And the question is that something wrong with the vehicle? Or is it something that I did? Was this a self-inflicted wound? The answer to that question is, it's my fault. Okay, so here's why. Now, the Power Boost is a hybrid truck, and so it will run on battery power, approximately 25-30% of the time. Ford says it'll get 24 miles to the gallon on the highway and 24 miles to the gallon in the city. Yes, the numbers are the same. What am I getting? I'm getting about 17 miles to the gallon. Now, if that happened to you, would you be upset? Well, I would be. You know, you pay that much money for a truck, and it's not even getting close to what the EPA ratings are. So what did I do to impact that? Well, number one, I had the truck lifted a little bit. Now, why would I do that? Well, because they look better that way. It's basically a leveling kit. It raises the rear end about maybe half an inch, and it raises the front about 2.5 inches. And it levels the truck. Instead of the truck having being lower in the front for aerodynamics, it's now pretty much flat. The other thing that I did is I took the factory installed tires off of it and put bigger tires on it. The tires have a more aggressive tread. The tires are 10-ply tires, really for a 3/4-ton pickup truck. And, so they're taller, wider, there's more rolling, or I guess turning mass as far as the wheels. In other words, it takes more effort on the part of the truck to turn those wheels. And another thing is that since I put a larger diameter tire on my truck, what does that do to the speedometer? Well, the truck thinks I'm going slower than I'm actually going because the revolutions of the tires are slower because it's a bigger tire. Does that make sense to you? I hope it does. So if the speedometer says I'm going 60 miles an hour, I'm probably actually going about 64 miles an hour. Will that make my gas mileage look worse? Yes, it will. So those three things, but I'm telling you, the tire change and the aerodynamic changes that I made to that truck by changing the stance of it are having the most impact. And if I were to put that truck back down where it was, put the original size tires on it, it would fix my problems. So those of you who are lifting your vehicles out there, hopefully you will understand that. Now, at one point, several years ago, if you changed the tire size, you could go into the computer, and we just hook our computer up to the OBD port on the truck, and we could change the settings and put the new tire size in there. Ford won't let us do that anymore. You have to buy an aftermarket, basically a chip or a little computer that you will plug into your OBD port, and it will change the settings on your car. Now, that costs about $350 to buy one of those. I'm not going to do that. So I'm just going to live with it. So really, probably I'm getting about 18, maybe 18 and a half miles of the gallon somewhere in the neighborhood, and which is acceptable to me. I mean, the good thing about the Power Boost truck is if I ever need to power my camper or a job site, or if we run out of juice at the house, you know, because of a big snow or a power outage, I can plug this thing in. I can run my refrigerator and I can run my emergency heat at my house. There's a lot of things I can do because the truck is like a power generating station. And, you know, that was part of my motivation. You know, I buy a truck every year or two just simply because I get tired of having to, you know, drive a demo and then give it up if somebody wants it. I just like having my own vehicle. Plus, I pull a camper, and there's some people that may not want to buy a pickup truck that's been used to tow. You know, I don't know why they wouldn't, but some people are that way. So anyway, I'm getting my truck serviced. That's where all this started. And I'm at 4,800 miles. So what should I have done to my truck? I'm getting ready to go on a trip, pretty new. Of course, I didn't have to make an appointment because I own the dealership. So I just drove in, and the guy said, "What can I do for you, Mr. Dawson?" And I said, "Well, I'm going out of town. I need to get my oil changed." He said, "Do you want your tires rotated as well?" See, I've trained him. And the answer to that question is yes. As I recommend, folks, you get your oil changed every 5,000 miles, and every time you get your oil changed, you get your tires rotated, and your tires will last longer. Now, I did notice that the tire pressures, I have tire pressure monitors on my vehicle, and most new vehicles have that, and I noticed my pressures were off. They were 42 pounds in the front and 39 in the rear. I thought my truck was riding a little rough, and it's been that way, I guess, since I've been driving it. I just didn't bother to check my pressures. Now, would that turn on my tire pressure warning light? No. It only turns on if you have too little pressure in your tires. And so what does my car call for? Well, on the old size tires, the original tires, 35 pounds. Now, these new tires on the side, on the tread side, says 45 pounds. But which one do I go by? You go by the one on the vehicle. That's what you go by. So I said, I want my tire pressure set at 36 pounds. I'm going to go 1 pound over. And I want you to address another issue that I had. Apparently, every time actually, when I put my car in reverse, there's a little sign comes on my dash that says, rear vehicle crash protection inoperative. See owner's manual. Well, I looked in the owner's manual, and I couldn't find anything about that. You know, I figured maybe one of my sensors was covered with dirt or ice or something like that. But no, I checked all the bumper sensors and the camera, and everything looks fine. So I do have a warranty repair. I talked to my service manager. I said, what is that? He said, well, let me check into it. Ends up, I have a defective part. They haven't told me which part it is yet. So, you know, I'm getting ready for my trip. My vehicle is operating perfectly other than that and the bad fuel economy that I'm getting, which was a self-inflicted wound. So you know what I did, though, to find out if it was a self-inflicted wound? I just Googled the problem, and it came up with a forum where people share issues that they have with their vehicles. And you'd be surprised how many people buy these power boost trucks thinking they're going to get great gas mileage. Then they lift them like I did, or put a leveling kit, and then they put bigger tires on them, and they're wondering why their fuel economy drops. There you go. That's the reason. So even I had to discover that, and hopefully by passing that on, you will know that if you make modifications to the aerodynamic, the flow of air on your vehicle, then you're going to impact fuel economy. If you change your tire size, you know, it can even change your tire compound and design. So my more aggressive tires that I have are not like the highway tires that used to be on there, and there's more rolling resistance. So all of these things can affect that. Well, folks, I hope some of this information is valuable to you. If I can help you at any time, give me a call, 423-552-2020, and I will be talking to you again tomorrow.